Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We got to go to a farm, and there was no whining when we had to clean out sheep pens and sheep poop and all of those things, but they also planted gardens, weeded gardens, built retaining walls, drove fence posts into the ground, built a shed for them. They are a family that lives way out in the desert, so they have no water. Everything is solar power. They have to get their water from a well that they've dug. They are way off the grid, and we were able to help them plant their food for the coming year. When we got there, she said they were about 7 to 8 weeks behind. When we left after 3 days, they were 7 weeks ahead. And so we were able to meet their needs. And so those kids worked so hard, and it was awesome to see them work. And it really challenged me to really look at what my faith is like and what God has challenged me. And so tonight we're going to talk about something that's called, as you see the top of your notes, pleasant versus passion. And so I was thinking about our faith and what God says to us and what he commands us to do in the Bible and what our faith looks like in an everyday way and what he's doing. And I came up with pleasant and passion in two ways. Pleasant, I want to read you the definition of pleasant. It says pleasant is agreeable, it's enjoyable, and it gives pleasure. But the last one says it is socially acceptable. And that challenged me in my faith, because I had to think about, do I have a pleasant faith or do I have a passionate faith? Because our pleasant faith, is it socially acceptable? If we looked at our society right now and said my faith is socially acceptable, then I'd probably say it's not the strongest faith. Am I right? Because we live in a world that is so about equal opportunity, equal rights, everything's fair, everything's equal, that when we talk about our faith, we're not supposed to push that upon somebody. But I remember hearing a speaker saying, I shared this once on a Wednesday night, said, if you want to be socially different, carry a Bible and speak Jesus' name, and you'll be different. What if our challenge in our lives is to say, I'm going to make my faith socially acceptable by changing the society, not changing myself? And it challenged me. How often do I walk in my faith and say, I'm going to make my faith socially acceptable? I'm not going to change it because of what's around me. And when I thought about a pleasant faith, right now I would say in my life, if I had a pleasant faith, that I'd have a faith that succumbs to the social pressures. And it challenged me. It reminded me of the verses in Revelations 3:15-16. It says, I know your deeds, that you neither are hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I go back to that verse all the time because I am challenged by the fact that when we talk about Christianity, we are talking about something that is not socially acceptable, but we want to be socially acceptable. And so we start to compromise in things, and we don't speak out, and we don't speak the name of God, and we don't live it out. And then all of a sudden that affects the way we're at church, and now we're just suddenly at church, and this is just what we do, and this is just who we are, and this is just where I go. And it all becomes this routine because it's acceptable. I don't want our church to be socially acceptable. I want our church to be socially abnormal. That people know when they come to our church that the Spirit of God lives here, that they experience the faith of God, they experience the love of God. It lives in this room, it lives in our people, it lives in the church. But that does not come from a pulpit, that does not come from a class, that comes from you. I remember a youth pastor telling me once that over the years, he'd been in youth ministry 7 years, he said, I had given, I don't know how many different talks, how many different things. And he went back to some seniors 3 years later and he said, can you remember anything I ever taught you in 4 years on a Sunday morning? And they said, no, not one thing, not one lesson, not one speech, not one thing could they remember. They remembered the relationships they had with other students and their youth pastor. They did not remember what they were taught. And for us as a church, we got to look at that and say, what impact are we making on the people around us? I'm always challenged when I'm in here on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night and I look around and I see empty seats between people. And I think two things, that's a seat where someone should be sitting, so I got to invite someone. But why is it when we come to church, it's not socially okay to talk to one another and sit next to each other and go through life together? We need to have our space. What I love to do is I think about the old pews. We always had our buffer zone. I had my Bible on this side and my drink on this side. And if you sat inside my buffer zone, you have violated all my personal space when it came to church. Has anyone done that? We've all done it. We're like, all right, sitting down, Bible here, bottle here. If anyone sits next to me, they better watch out. So to have a pleasant faith doesn't always mean, though, it's wrong. As the definition also said, it's agreeable, it's enjoyable, and it gives pleasure. Those are things I know God wants us to get out of our faith with him, that he wants it to be enjoyable for us, that he wants it to bring pleasure for us, that he wants it to be agreeable. And those are good things to pursue. I thought about when it comes to our pleasance, I thought about neighbors. As Dave was talking about neighboring and neighbors, I thought about our neighbors, and I live on a street where you're not allowed, there's no sidewalk, you're not allowed to park on the street, it's just a through street where our house is, and we have people that live across from us. And I've found myself on constant times, I know my neighbors across from me, in the side of me, but I never really cross the street to talk to them. You guys know what I'm talking about? You get up to the edge of your driveway and then you stop right there and you're like, hey, good to see you. And you have this conversation across the street from one another or across a bush or across, you know, there's always this buffer zone. Because we want that buffer zone because we say, man, if I cross this buffer zone, I got to commit. I got to know their name. I got to commit to a conversation. I got to commit my time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my street or my bush, and I'm going to make sure that if I don't cross that, that means I can break off at all conversation at all time. Sometimes with a pleasant faith, we put a street or a hedge or a bush around our relationship with God. And we say, we see you. I can wave to you. I can have a conversation with you, but I'm not going to fully commit my time, efforts, and all things to you. Has anybody ever track with me on that? You gotta say, yeah, I've done that. I haven't committed all the way. See, our pleasant is gonna be enjoyable. What is when it's enjoyable because we can remove ourselves from it, it's not enjoyable to God. And when it's not enjoyable to God, you better watch out. But then I thought about passion and what the definition of passion is. Definition of passion is powerful or compelling emotion, strong feelings or strong desires. Whew. Doesn't that sound like the relationship we want with God? As I dug deeper into this word and I was studying out of the NIV, you know what I found? That never once in the NIV did they use the word passion to describe the relationship with God or Jesus. They used it to describe the strength of sin. That sin had so, you have to let go of your passions. You have to, your sinful nature, your sinful desire, your sinful passions. In Galatians 5, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have been crucified, the flesh with its passions and desires. When we talk about passion, it is something that we are committed to. It's something that we love. It's something that we want. It's something that we desire. And what I took from that is a warning that we do want a passionate relationship with God. I think everything we need is a passionate relationship with God, but we have to understand that sin is just as powerful and carries just as much passion. And unless you're battling sin, you're battling these things, you're stepping out and saying, I'm going to battle all that there is, when you give in to your passions, they are just as strong as anything else in this world. When I had the privilege of sharing my testimony at Easter, and I wanted to say, first of all, thank you to anyone that served in the Easter play. There was over 200 people involved, and we got to see 500 people come to Christ. How awesome is that? That's great. But there's a part of my testimony that always stuck out to me as I talked about at the end, right before Jesus came out, I said he bought back the keys to this kingdom. How often do we steal those keys back and say, I want to control that kingdom? That we say, Jesus, you have the keys of this kingdom. You've set me free. Now give them back so I can control this kingdom, so I can control my relationship, so I can control these things. I get to define the passion. I get to define what is going on. I get to control. And once again, we get stuck in trying to be God. When he talks about a passionate relationship, when I'm talking about a passionate relationship, when I'm talking about being powerful emotions, compelling emotions, strong feelings, a desire for God, it has to be for God and God alone. It is not for anything else in this world. I love baseball. I believe it is the greatest sport ever made, and if you do not believe me, then you are not a believer in Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I love baseball. It is one of my greatest passions. One of my greatest desires was to play professional baseball. I remember when I started going to school at Faith Christian, excuse me, I thought I was a freshman. If you couldn't tell, I was tall and skinny. When I graduated high school, I was 6'4", 175, 180 pounds. So I was a rail. And I got to high school as a freshman. I've been on all-star teams as a kid, and I got to there, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the starting first baseman for our high school baseball team. And I went to my first tryout, and Ralph Nance was my high school baseball coach. I don't know if any of you know Ralph. And he scared the bejesus out of me. But I remember staying at first base. I'm like, I'm going to be the best first baseman there is. And I get out there, field the ground ball, throw it home, turn around, get ready to take a throw from third, and this thing comes in, and I, right on the heel of my hand, I get the biggest bruise within 20 seconds. I got so scared, I didn't want to catch another ball. And you're like, what does this have to do with Jesus? Well, let me tell you. Too often do we think we're great Christians, and then God throws us a hard one, and it bruises our hand, and we back away, and we don't want to do with it anymore, and we lose our passion. We lose our desire. You see, passion takes an everyday thing. When it said in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It is saying you are free from all things of this world, all sins. But you're still going to get hit with temptations. You're still going to get hit with desires. Your hand's going to get bruised. You're going to get scared. You're going to want to back off. But when you have passionate desires for God, those things should not stop you. They should motivate you. Because we want to have a relationship with God that succumbs over all things. And that's what we want to chase after. I heard someone say once that when you talk about your faith, you're either moving towards God or away from God. You're never just with God. That we can say, well, I'm in a good place with God. I'm in a good place. I love God. I know the word. I'm not doing this. No. When you find yourself in a place where you're not moving towards God, understand you're always moving then away from God. You're never just in a place. And when I thought about that, I thought about when you're moving towards God or away from God, or you feel like you're in a place, if you're moving away from God, you're moving back to your dead self. Does that make sense? God says when he forgave all sins, all those things are dead. They're dead to him. They're forgiven. When we start to move backwards and we feel like we're sliding backwards, we're moving back towards death. We're not moving back towards life. And in our lives, we need to evaluate, what are we moving towards these days? Am I moving towards death or am I moving towards life? When it comes to pleasant, sometimes it means a lack of commitment. It's a season of life that we go through that we're not going to commit all of ourselves, and we lack our commitment to God or to something that he challenges us in. How many of you ever felt God call you to do something and then you didn't do it? You ever been there? I've been there. I remember countless times where God has called me to do something. He has said, go pray for this person. He's said, go pray or do this or do that. And I didn't do it. And I'm not saying that's a lack of commitment, but that's where I find myself saying I'm just pleasing. I'm just pleasant. I just have a pleasant faith that makes me feel good. I love awkward moments. Now that I'm older, I love them. When I was in college, I went to Metro. I was a roadrunner. And roadrunners. And we would get bored, and so we'd go to corporate offices across the street, and this is only something you would do in college with your friends. And we would ride elevators, but we'd ride them backwards. So when people would come in, we would be facing the wrong direction, and then they'd come in and stare at you, so then you're looking face to face with them, and they're awkwardly trying not to look at you as you stare at them right in front of the door. And I have countless times where people would then slowly start to turn themselves around and stare at the back wall, because they're like, I don't awkwardly want to stare at you. We are going to be full of awkward moments and awkward places where we are going to be outside our comfort zone. But when we desire the passionate feelings and relationships with God, the awkward becomes fun. It's no longer scary. And when we move into the passionate relationship with God that He desires from us, the obstacles and things in life no longer are as hard and as fearful as they once were. When I read that scripture out of Galatians 5, and that it says, those who belong to Jesus Christ, I want to belong to Jesus Christ. I want to be known as His son. I want to be known as His servant. I want to be known as His child. But to do that means I have to let other people know who I belong to. It's one thing to know who your mother and father is. It is one thing to let others know who they are. I know through the awkward years I've seen with high school students when parents come around, the last thing they want to do is have their parents drop them off. Did anyone ever have their parents drop them off like 5 blocks away from school so you never got seen by your parents? I've done that. I know kids that do it. When we are ashamed of our father, when we are ashamed of who he is and we don't want to be known for who that is, doesn't that hurt? Can you think of the times that even when Peter, when he denied Christ, how that must have made him feel? That God in heaven, throne above, gave his son, gave all of this love, all of these things, and at that moment he found so much shame that he denied who his father was. I want to be known, as it says in Galatians 5, that I belong to Jesus Christ, that I can overcome all things, that I can do all the things that God has commissioned me to do, that I can overcome the pleasant faith and move towards the passion. Now, I'm not saying pleasant faith is bad. There are seasons where we will be in pleasant faith. And the word pleasant is not always bad. It says in the Bible that when we lift our prayers to God, they're a pleasing aroma. They're a pleasant scent to Him. And I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasant to Him, but I also want to be known as passionate. And I want to make my faith the social norm. What if our faith was the social norm? What if Christianity was what everyone knew it was? I think by then, Christ might be returning. I had the opportunity in my office this week to have a discussion with a young man who was asking a lot of questions about faith. What do we believe as Christians? What do we do? And he was asking about Israel and this. And I got to spend an hour and a half talking about God in my office, and that was one of the coolest things I got to do this week. And I thought about it when I left. I was so pumped. I was ready to go hit the streets. I was like, all right, who's next? Who needs to know about Jesus? I had like the shakes going. I had the Jesus shakes is what I like to call them. But if I did not have passion for God to seek Him daily, I would not have known the answers to tell Him. It is not my job that defines my ability to tell someone about Christ. It is my love for Him that defines my ability to tell others about Christ. The title of pastor means nothing to me. The title of son of God means something to me. What title do you carry in your life right now? Do you carry proudly the title of son of daughter of God? Or is it your job? Is it your family? Is it the things around you? Is it your desire to be this professional thing? What is the title that you live for? What is your passion? When your passion meets God, you become a fire that cannot be stopped for this world. I think of the 500 people that got to know Christ in 1 week. It almost makes me cry every time I think about it. Being able to stand here and pray with people and to see lives changed. And something Pastor Blake said to me once, well, what if there's the next Billy Graham or someone that comes from those 500? I want to do that every day. I want to bring the gospel every day. And if that, I'm trying not to cry, if that is not the passion of your heart to tell others that Christ died for you, then I would ask you, do you know how much God loves you? And that is passion. I'm sorry. That his passion is more than you can comprehend for the desire of your life. And I want to see every person come to know Christ. And that is our desire. I'm sorry, I can't. What is your title in life right now? If someone was to define who you are, would they know that God is your definition? Will you guys just bow your heads with me? I want to just take a minute. I got to gather myself for a second. Father, we want to know something. God, reveal to our hearts right now in this sanctuary. God, what is our title? What are we known for? What are we known as? God, each one of our hearts desires to know who you are. That's why we're here. But God, our passions in life that are outside of who you are can become more than what we can handle. And you sometimes take a back seat. So God, I pray right now in this room, God, that you would be known as the passion of every heart in here. That you would become known as the father of every child in this world. Father, I pray that when we leave here tonight, that as we move forward in our lives, that passion is still not enough. That our desires are still not enough. That we want to know so much more of who you are. Father, I pray that this week, as this week continues, God, I pray that we have an opportunity to lead another person to Christ. That a coworker is no longer a coworker, but they're a friend and a family member. That a family member that does not know you becomes a family member who commits their life to you. Father, we want to see the salvation of this world. But it starts with us finding our identity in you. And when we passionately come after our identity in you, Father, I pray that we would be known for more than just attending a church. That we would be known for being the church. We just pray these things in your name, amen. I need just a moment there. So with everything I've said, I always want to issue a challenge. With everything we do, we always want to move forward. I never want to leave anything saying that was enough. So this week, I want to challenge you to share the gospel with one person. But for you, I want to say right now on your notes, I want you to write the word title. And then after that, say my title is what, and then a blank. You fill it in. What is your title in life right now? What do people know you as? What do they define you as? What do they know you as for your passions? What do they know you as for your life? And look at that title and say, this is the title. These are the things that God has put in my heart that I love so much. How do I use that title to bring God as a part of it? If I love baseball, then I'm going to be a Christian Toten baseball player. If I love, I don't know, underwater basket weaving, I'm going to be a Christian underwater basket weaver. Synchronized even. Our titles and passions that God has given us are God inherent and God given. Which means I always have to be whatever it is, God is a part of it. Can you guys stand with me? I just want to bless you guys, and we're going to wrap up. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. I'm sorry I had a breakdown there. I love Jesus. What can I say? All right, it's okay. There you go. All right. Will you guys just put your hands out as I pray one more time? Father, I pray over every hand and every head in this room, God. God, let your passions, your desires, your love, your things reign in their lives. God, I pray that every person in here would feel the touch of your love tonight. That the moment that we accepted your Son as Savior, God, our lives became more, and what was sin became less. That God, as we move forward in our lives, not just past this day, not just past this week, not just past this year, but for eternity, God, let our titles and passions always reflect who you are and what you've done. And that you live in this world as our Father and King. So Father, as we sing this song before we go, I pray that these words would stick in our hearts, that you are our Savior King, and that you have saved us from so much, and that your passions become ours. Just pray these things in your name, amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.